Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you today.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
I am doing well. Back to work again.
Yeah, back to the grind.
And straighten out the world. I want to start off with talking about how the reporting is done on measuring the seriousness of the pandemic. It has to be pandemic. I remember early in this whole discussion, there was a newscaster badgering his guest till he would say, pandemic. Yeah. It couldn't be just epidemic. Well, anyway, we've been through all that. But right now, you know, it continues, and there's a lot of distortion on the way they report, and we want to talk about that. Statistics are important to get what they want. Sometimes if it's described right in the way they fill out forms, you get more money. I remember a long time ago, and this should be a short little story, I didn't take Medicare and Medicaid, and I didn't believe it. And I met one of my colleagues, and he was doing that. And I said, well, one thing is I thought he'd appeal to the fact that, you know, if deliveries were $1,000 and the government was paying $600, he says, oh, no, that's no problem. He says, you'd be surprised how many diagnoses we can put on the sheet. And this is the average doctor. Just succumb to it all. And that, of course, is what's happening here, because they get much bigger reimbursements. But, you know, the other thing that's turned out to be a real joke are the rules.
Yeah.
First, the lockdown's idiotic. It's very costly. It costs lives, more illnesses with people. It costs disruption of lives. Many people, suicide rates going up and all these things. Denial of medical care to people. And it was on and on. It was a tremendous cost. But now, you know, we see some other things, the rules. Well, social distancing, that's a good idea. And, you know, to a degree it is. You know, I think most normal people, you know, on my life team, you know, say, you know, if you have a bad cold, my mother's here. And most people with a bad cold didn't go into somebody's house.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't, you know, a big deal. It was sort of a lot of common sense that went along with it. But so social distancing has to be mandated, even though it was against the law to mandate it. So if it's not mandated, this intimidate people, this embarrass people, this shame them if they don't. Still going on. And then the other thing is wearing a mask.
Yeah.
They do the same thing with shaming people. That's your litmus test on whether you're a good citizen or not. And guess what? But I know you already know this. The masks probably aren't all what they say they are.
Yeah.
You know, I've worn a lot of masks, but under the circumstances of deliveries and surgery and all. But this fanaticism, it reminds me of a story I heard this weekend. This comes from the mountains of Colorado on a beautiful, beautiful day. Sky was crystal clear blue. There was no fires around, and the Sahara dust had not arrived. So this individual was out walking. They came across another couple, and the couple had masks on up in the mountain. They were obeying. I thought, what is happening here? And they probably felt good about it. They probably didn't feel good about the individual that didn't have the mask on. And that is the case. People turn on you. They yell and scream at you because you're not obedient. It has nothing to do with common sense. So, what's happened recently is we find out that some people getting together and demonstrating in large crowds, they are to be honored and applauded, because their arguments and what they're parading for and demonstrating for is a holy thing. And this last weekend, it turned out there was a huge parade and demonstration in Chicago.
Yeah.
Pride and BLM got together. I don't know. It was more than a couple hundred. It was more than a couple thousand. I don't know what the total number is, but people went out, and it wasn't the people that were supporting the parade, because they technically said the parade has not been authorized, but it came off anyway. But no, the people who wanted it to happen they were not taking pictures, but there were a few people who were getting disgusted with this, went and got some pictures, and maybe we'll be able to get a, take a look at that. But you know, the battle lines are there. Yeah. People who I consider has a lot more common sense, and nobody has perfect knowledge. But I tell you what, there's a lot of distortion, intimidation, and when it comes to reimbursements, if you if you can just tag somebody with the coronavirus, you know, the doctors, the hospitals, everybody else gets a lot more money, and it's always so tempting. So maybe we won't figure this out until we're flat out broke, and there won't be any money left.
Yeah, it's hard to believe they're going back into lockdown, but that is clearly where we're headed. Though you can see the panic on people's faces. But on the parades, you know, it reminds you of the famous Orwell, all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. Right. And that is definitely the case. And in fact, our first clip here is from Chicago. 60,000 people out in the streets celebrating Pride and BLM. They are not socially distancing, I have to say, just looking at the picture, Dr. Paul. And that's fine. People should be able to demonstrate for whatever they want. However, let's look at the next one. Here's the mayor of Chicago. Live aerial footage, massive crowds rallying to celebrate Pride. Right next door, Mayor Lori Lightfoot plans to fine churches that defy stay-at-home order rules to hold Sunday services. So,
well, it looked like it was a sunny day.
Yeah.
Maybe there was one good thing. It got people out. They didn't have their mask on. They were more relaxed than usual, and they got some vitamin D.
Yeah.
So it was not all for lost cause, but it also supported the wrong approach. If it had been a if it had been a libertarian group out there, they wouldn't have been acknowledged, or they would have been arrested or something.
Yeah.
Because you guys don't have your mask on, this sort of thing. So it's a real shame of what we're going through, but I think that I think more and more people are waking up, and I think that's good.
It is, but unfortunately, you know, we're not seeing a lot of resistance to the second wave, and that's because the propaganda is so strong, it is so overwhelming, people aren't stopping to say, you know what, that doesn't make sense what they're saying. This is crazy. But you know, sometimes it's good to return to the scene of the crime. You know, we've talked about when we first got into Syria in 14, Obama said, well, we got to save this little group here on the hilltop because ISIS is going to kill them. We're still there. We're still, you know, protecting, stealing their oil. We're still there. The original rationale for the lockdown, the shutdown, was we've got to flatten the curve. If the hospitals get overwhelmed with a huge rush of cases, that'll be a disaster. So we're going to flatten the curve so the hospitals can adapt and take in patients they need. It was never about eliminating or reducing infections of people. That was never part of it. It was to prolong it, and essentially prolong it is what it did. People stayed home, they didn't contract it, they didn't get over it, they didn't develop antibodies, and now that they're out a little bit, it seems like people are contracting it. However, I will say one thing, Dr. Paul, is there one reason why we're seeing increased cases is that massive amounts of testing. In fact, my church is up in Fort Bend County, and we drove up there yesterday, and there's a huge billboard sign. Hey, quick 15-minute COVID test. Come on in. Super easy. No problem. And people are going to get themselves tested. You know, that's part of it.
You know, their propaganda scheme and this terrorize the people, actually, a death is more valuable to them.
Yeah.
You know, than just being recorded as having a positive test. And I think that's a shame, just digging it up. So what did they have to do? They had to turn it around and make it sound like cases are important. And they had the ammunition there. There are a lot of more cases. People didn't go. I see they have people so scared and so frightened about what's going on. Lines and lines of people lining up to get their test. The last thing they need is a test that they're healthy. You know, what's going to help? If you're worried about it and concerned, don't go where you don't want to go.
Yeah.
And if you think you might have something, don't go to a nursing home. You know,
yeah.
that would be. Instead, you say, well, you're heartless. Yeah. When the government gets involved, you have the Cuomos of the world deciding what should happen at the nursing home. And I think I saw one statistic that 85% of the deaths came from the nursing home.
Yeah.
And that's where that's where the most central management, you know, it's all Medicare, it's all government regulated, and that's where all the deaths were. And some people, unfortunately, might even suggest maybe it wasn't just a poor choice.
Yeah, maybe not just an accident. Well, here's something to demonstrate this. I mean, this is so clear. This next clip is so clear, Dr. Paul, and it's a little small. This is from the New York Times. This is not some conspiracy site. The top picture is the new reported cases by day in the U.S. Yes, that is going up. No question about it. But right below it, new reported deaths by day in the U.S., they're down 75, 80, 90% from the peak. So something is happening. Either the virus is less strong, it's killing less people, or the testing is fake. And probably a little bit of both is the case. But, you know, and you wrote about it this week. It was always about death count, 100,000, death count. Then all of a sudden they switch on a dime. Nobody even says death count anymore. It's only about rate increase. Meanwhile, massive increase. I sent you something over the weekend, actually. This doctor in Texas said everyone that's coming in now for their long delayed surgeries, things of this nature, they're all coming in and they get tested when they walk through the door. If they test positive, they're immediately listed as COVID, not just COVID positive, but COVID hospitalizations. And that, of course, gets them more money, but that's why you're seeing the spike.
And then it ends up, they say, they died from coronavirus, not
from. Exactly.
This is all basically bad news, but a little bit of good news is the hospitals have had enough. They're in the middle of this. They get their money and the payments, and medical care now is a federal operation, and they were annoyed by saying, "Well, the hospitals can't handle it. It's a disaster. You know, we have more cases than ever before." And the hospitals in Houston, led by Methodist, I think it was, had a press conference, and these leaders of the hospitals say they're overblowing. It is not true. And they're pointing out the statistics that the hospitals are more open and more beds available than 1 year ago.
Yeah, when there was no COVID.
So it's all concocted. And of course, immediately people are going to say, "You guys don't care."
Well,
we care enough to try to point out the truth that the world is not coming to an end and things are made worse. You know, I don't think they read the Hippocratic Oath. You know, it says something about first do no harm. And this treatment, this social treatment of this virus has done a lot of harm. And yet some of the good things and good medical procedures, are actually being outlawed and resented and you can't do it. But use the more expensive drugs and respond to them in a positive way. They won't accept the fact that doctors and patients and independent people can figure this out now because it's so artificial. And unfortunately, it's a money game. That is so tragic. Yeah. This is terrible because I have a lot of physicians in the family. I don't think doctors are all that way. I think it's different than that.
Sure.
The drug companies are involved. They're the ones who sell the drugs and who pays the bills. The government pays the bills, so it's all a gimmick. And some of this death certificate thing, we talked about that before in a similar way. If you could just put it down, the death comes from coronavirus, and it gets more money for the hospitals.
Yeah, it does. And you know, the spike in deaths is not occurring. Heather McDonald had a good piece in Spectator US, and she pointed out that Texas daily deaths are jumping around a little bit, but there's nothing to justify what Governor Abbott did over the weekend, you know, which is, okay, bars, you were open for a couple weeks, no more. It's all your fault. It's all your fault. Things are jumping. But what Heather points out, we're now to the point where I think it's down to 500 deaths a day in the whole U.S., something like that, which is tragic. But as Heather McDonald points out in The Spectator, daily deaths from heart disease and cancer, 3,400. Nobody talks about that. They're talking about this declining death rate, in the U.S. And it's, if the lockdowns were a mistake the first time, which they were, we see the devastation to the economy. Now they're based on just hot air. More cases. You still have 99.8% or more chance of surviving. Even if you get it, even if you come down with symptoms, you have a huge chance of surviving.
You know, in our two towns, Lake Jackson to live in Lake Jackson. Mm-hmm. You went out and did some testing today to find out how it's worked, because these are new rules. And the two issued rules together. My first assumption was headline, Lake Jackson Clute issues more rules. It's second wave. We've got to be prepared. But the rules aren't exactly the same between Clute, and yet the excitement and the headlines, even in our local papers, yeah, they can get pretty excited about what's going on.
It's a misleading headline. Local paper said, mayors of Clute and Lake Jackson mandate masks in all businesses. And in Clute, if you read it, they do require a mask, but it's in a very clever way. In Lake Jackson, it's not as clear. Businesses that can't social distance must put up a policy that includes masks. But here's the thing that really gets me about this, Dr. Paul, and I am pretty disappointed with the mayors of both of these towns, and it is pretty disappointing and embarrassing to see them jumping to this level. But here's what they're doing, because they know there is no law that says you must wear a mask, and so you're going to have to wear a mask or go to jail. They can't do that. There's no law. So what they're doing is something very insidious. And I wish some lawyers would get a hold of this, because I can't believe it's legal. They are issuing a decree. The mayor is issuing a decree to businesses. If you want to operate your business in this town, you must act as police officers yourself. You must look at every person coming into your business and do the job of the police and tell them you can't come in without a mask on. And if you don't do that, we're going to fire you $1,000. We're going to fine you $1,000 for everyone who comes in. So they're literally forcing these private companies to act as a police force to enforce a law that's not a law, that they know is not a law, and they know they can't enforce on individuals.
Yeah, and they feel compelled to do it. I think that same example can be made about the churches. You know, not every minister wants to take it upon himself to say, to heck with all these recommendations, it might endanger our parishioners, and on. So they go along because that's the last thing they need, is fighting with the government, and they feel like they're being patriotic good citizens by going along and not questioning anything they say.
Yeah, and our vice president was in Dallas over the weekend, and he met with Governor Abbott. They were there for the Freedom Celebration. You know, this is, Orwell is getting really heavy here. Just as Governor Abbott is restricting our freedoms in Texas, Pence rolls in to celebrate freedom with Governor Abbott. You know, I guess freedom is slavery, as Orwell said. But it is a shame, and it's too bad that Abbott's doing it. And I like seeing the fact that a few of these bars are saying, we're not gonna do it. And a few of the police forces are saying, we're not going to enforce this. So it's good news, but still, the fear is there. The fear is there. People are getting angry if you don't wear a mask. They're getting mad at you because they've been conditioned now by fake news, fake media propaganda, that cases equal deaths,
Well, there's not a whole lot of good news there. There's a little bit of good news. And I think the charts you put up are the best things, that maybe it'll sink in. That is, yes, there are more cases, but that's because we do more testing. Doesn't mean anything about the seriousness. It doesn't tell you who's sick, who isn't sick. It doesn't even deal with the deaths occur, because the deaths are going down, and that wouldn't be good propaganda for their lockdown.
Yeah.
And the lockdown is a big deal, and it of course is blends in with the slump and the downturn of the stock market and our correction, our recession that we're in. So that is a big deal. But I wanted to mention one other thing that was in the news today. It's a little bit on a different subject, but it's also part of the way Washington works. And the people, especially the deep state behind the scenes, how they have to stir up trouble. And believe it or not, it looks like they're continuing with stirring up trouble because Trump hates wheeling and dealing with Russia.
Yeah.
And Russia are the monsters of the world. And right now, the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal, they published it. They said that we were paying bounties if we could get the Taliban. No, the Russians were paying bounties
to kill
Americans in Afghanistan. I think this is one place where Trump's probably pretty serious. I just want to leave Yeah. I think he'd consider it a political coup if we didn't have any troops in Afghanistan. But that's a big deal, and Trump's not doing enough about it. They use that if the Russians are doing this. This is really terrible, and he better stand up, try to embarrass Trump. Same way with coronavirus. I think deep down in their hearts, they probably thought this thing up because, you know, Trump is eating our lunch with giant rallies.
Yeah.
Nobody has ever done that before, and that has to stop. So he did. And who's doing the big rallies now?
Yeah.
You know, Black Lives Matter and Pride.
The Democratic Party.
And nobody says boo. So I think that good news is that the statistics are on our side. They're going to wake up, but it'll probably change the day after the election, unless Trump wins again, and then they have to really go bear down on him.
More impeachment, yeah. Well, I would just end up, Dr. Paul, with something that I think is important to think about, and this is from the CDC itself, because a lot of people are getting their tests back and they're saying you tested positive for coronavirus, and that's a huge spike. But this is from the CDC's own website. They're telling people, hey, if you test positive, a positive test result shows you might have antibodies from an infection with the virus that causes COVID-19. And here's the interesting part. However, there is a chance a positive result means that you have antibodies from an infection with the virus from the same family of viruses called coronaviruses, such as the one that causes the common cold. Does that give you a lot of confidence, Dr. Paul, that is real COVID-19 cases? It doesn't. And they're cooking the books. They need to cook the books because they need to reinstill the fear. If you let them terrify you, then you only have yourselves to blame. Unfortunately, thankfully, our viewers are not susceptible to the propaganda. But I just will finally say again, thank you to our super chatters who are helping keep the show alive. We're going to have a public thank you after the show as we roll credits. And these are the people over the last week that have participated in super chat, give a little bit of money to help keep the show going, and just to increase engagement. So thank all of you. Dr. Paul?
You know, you use the word might. They say, you know, you might be really having a lot of trouble, but they never say you might not. You know, this is the whole thing. You might not. They do that in financial advising. They say, you know, da 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 sounds bad, and you might end up doing this. You might have a stock market, or you might have, you know, this sort of thing. So when I see that, they never put might. They just or if they put the might, that's what they don't want to emphasize, because every time they say something's going to happen, it might not happen too. But that's the propaganda tools that the politicians and the deep state has used for many, many years, and they're going to continue to do it. In the long run, truth wins out, but unfortunately, sometimes it's only historic, and they figure out exactly what's going on. When I think about understanding exactly the terrible things that happened in our society and what the CIA has been involved with and assassinations and who knows what, it takes a long time. It never happens immediately. And also, you know, the same thing with wars. It might be that we should have never gone into Iraq and Iran and Afghanistan and Syria and Libya. It might have been much better if we had just stayed home. But only the history books will get into that much detail. But in the meantime, we have to try to stop it. Stop going in more. Stop, you know, putting out the bad information. We should be able to compete. We have the internet. Of course, the internet is tough to break into. You know, you can get kicked off, Twitter and Facebook and these places if you don't do exactly as they tell you. But still, a truthful message will spread. Ideas do spread, and they don't have to have the three major medias spreading those messages. But it takes a lot of help. This is what we try to do here. This is why we appreciate the help and support from each individual, because as far as I'm concerned, if you have knowledge or an understanding and believe we're on the right track, I think you're always in a small minority. I don't work with the idea that soon we're going to have 51% agreeing with this. But if you come around to agreeing that non-intervention in foreign policy, non-intervention in our personal lives, non-intervention in the economy, and a non-violent society, not permitting aggression, that you have a moral obligation, you know, to spread that message for your own benefit, for the benefit of history, the society, and the progress of your family. So I think I think people who are knowledgeable and they're confident about what they believe in, they do have a moral responsibility to try to spread that message. Besides, it can be a lot of fun because you meet a lot of good people and you'll find some people and you'll feel very good if you get a convert now and then. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.